Are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus,
give me eyes to see,
ears to hear,
what your Spirit is saying
to me.
This morning I was crying out to the Lord. It was a little bit of a busy morning, but it was a good morning. And I heard these words. I heard the word, the power of I am. So the power of I am, what does that really mean? And recognizing that the power of I am, when spoken through a believer, or even with a mouth of an unbeliever, the laws of the kingdom are operating. And if you remember, Matthew 18:18 says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now this is all old stuff, but God is taking me higher. And he's trying to teach me how to keep my mouth shut so that I can stop the binding process that is negative. Because I have a tendency to be under the anointing of fear, and I say tendency because I think it's different degrees for different people. So it's not an accusing thing that I'm trying to give you. And I'm not trying to tell you to force everybody around you to stop their mouth by controlling them so that you can get a break, because that's control tactics. And I've had people tell me, well, if you don't say any of these things, then we'll continue counseling. And I said, wait a minute. I'm supposed to change how I will obey the Lord so that you can stay comfortable and come back for help? I said, that's BS. And I told him point blank.
I love it.
You know, if you think you're coming here for help and I'm going to have to change the way I act and react, and how I speak, and how I truthfully believe what I'm trying to do is get you out of this mess that you've created somehow, because we create our own misery. We open the wrong doors, we open the wrong mouth at the wrong time, and we create bondage. Okay? So, if you go to Exodus 3:14, you're going to see a discussion. Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am who sent me to you. And you could go on there and keep on going, but I don't want to park there, okay? I want you to recognize that, I'm going to go back to my notes here, Revelations 1:18. So go right to the end of the book, and I'm going to use the Amplified because it goes a little deeper. So sometimes you have to have two Bibles. Right. Revelations 1:18. And the ever-living one, I am living in the eternity of eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore. And I possess the keys of death and Hades. And then it says in parentheses, the realm of the dead. So, if you go back to verse 17, it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And if you go into the next part, I am living in the eternity of eternities. So when you and I realize that we are spirit beings living in this body, and we've been anointed of the Holy One of Israel with that seed of His Spirit, we can relate. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss the boat in obedience. But you all heard me last summer talk about how everything fell apart when it was time to get a shower stall and put into my... And these two heard what I had to say. So for them, it's going to be an old testimony. But everybody that was supposed to help never showed up, never called back. And I heard the Holy Spirit said, but I'll be with you. Okay? Mm-hmm. So go ahead and start. So I had all the equipment in my garage. In July, it's kind of warm. But I started to do the work. On many occasions, it was a little bit difficult because when you're doing this on your own, you're by yourself, and my brother knows that, you know, being by yourself, you've got to have extra hands sometimes, but there were no extra hands, no extra help. Irene is in an unbelievable place. She couldn't help me. And I wasn't going to ask because I knew it would be too much for her. So, at one interval, my grandson's supposed to show up on a Friday. And so he says, well, my dad said we have to work, so obviously that got canceled. I can only come on Saturday. Well, that means I've got another day and a half to plan on my own to do whatever I can so that when he does come, the parts that need four and six hands will manifest. In my quest for life to continue, I have a shelf that's about almost 4 feet high where the front of my car goes underneath in the garage part. So I had a stepladder there, and I went on the shelf to do some of the repairs because of what was needed on the other side of the shower, which is the garage side. And all of a sudden, I felt myself going, and I fell on my back on the cement floor with the tools and everything there. I actually was aware that I had an angel guarding me. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if there was more than one. All I know is now I'm on my back, and every thought of negative comes in. Okay? And I'm about to cry out to my wife, I am hurt. And I heard, no. You are not any of those things. You are mine. So I'm still laying on the ground, and my back is sore, and I've got some tools under me. And my glasses went flying because, you know, I fell from here, down on my back. And I remember myself going, but there was no way to stop because the ladder shifted. Yeah. So, Holy Spirit, you're with me. I'm on the ground declaring, I'm going to be fine. I am fine. I'm changing these words, Lord. I am fine. And I have no pain. And I declared it, not screaming it like I am now. But I got up. All the pieces were connected. There were no broken bones. Praise God. I got myself up. I began to go and touch my feet. And our Lord said, not yet. Because now I could feel some pain. And so he said, don't declare what you feel. Declare what you are. In me. Well, I had to come to service. Okay? I had to function on Sunday. I had to function on Saturday when my helper came. Do you know that the pain lessened from day to day? I did not take medication, except I think I took two ibuprofens that night because my back was quite tight and swollen. I laid down. I never told Irene, and to this day she doesn't know. Okay? The only ones that know is these two because I shared it with them because God was teaching me to shut my mouth, not to declare for the enemy a way in so that he could destroy. By Monday, and I did all the work with my grandson on Saturday, never said a word, just functioned. On Monday, I said, Lord, I got myself out of bed. I didn't have an ache or a pain or any type of symptom. They were all disappeared. Now that was only really from Thursday to Monday. That's not that many days for that kind of a fall and that kind of, you know, because again, the enemy said, your age. I said, so what does that have to do with it?
Amen. Come on, you talk.
It has nothing to do with it.
No. Nothing.
And I responded. You know, I'm renewed like the eagle. Psalm 103. I'm going to be better than I was before. Well, has everything established in 2 or 3 witnesses? Mm-hmm. Okay. So a few weeks later, I got hurt again. And my response was, God, I am fine. And then I began to declare it. Because somebody said, oh, can you help me today? I sure can. I'm fine. And do you know that the symptoms disappeared even sooner? Why?
Because you were not thinking about yourself and you were reaching out to help somebody else.
But my mouth was declaring what God said about me, not what I felt. My mouth.
That's right.
My mouth was the issue. So, now let's go to James chapter 3. Amplified. James chapter 3. You're having fun, you?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 2. For we all often stumble and fall. Is that it? And offend in many things. Well, I was offended. If anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is a fully developed character.
Wow. Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord.
There's hope. There's hope for you.
Help me, help
don't
me.
Don't be clear what you're thinking. Clear what he is.
You didn't see the verse.
Oh.
Pastor King, you didn't see the verse.
Huh?
What's the verse?
Two.
That's just verse 2. And it's going to get a little heavier. Okay? But you know what? This is medicine.
Yes, it is.
This is the gospel. Look at your neighbor. Take a gospel every day.
Take a gospel every day.
And you'll be fine.
And you'll be fine.
Ready again, verse 2. If anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is a fully developed character. And a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature.
Jesus.
Boy, did I need this today.
Amen.
I'm honest. Yeah.
If we set bits in the horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships that you sent out in the ocean and you never want them to come back. That's my version, right?
Wait, did this say that?
Oh. Yeah. Yes.
Likewise, look at the ships, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. So that describes who's in control of your mouth and your tongue. And if it's the helmsman from hell, you're going to get hell responses. Or natural Adamic responses, etc. The beast will declare through you what you think and what you feel. The Holy Spirit will declare through you who you really are, and how great the I Am is.
That's right.
Now, that's a lot of digestion, and I know I might go back into the corner, but I'll survive.
You're not there yet.
Okay.
You are working your way, however.
Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest, a tiny spark can set ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body.
Jesus, oh my God.
Contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature. Being itself ignited by hell or Gehenna. Now you can say ouch if you want.
Ouch, I thank you. Sincerely, because I've been screaming at God to give me the right words, because the intensity of what I've been going through at home is, I know my words are wrong. What are they? What are they? What are the right words I need to speak right now? Because I know that's my only way out.
It is the way out, and that's why you're in the test.
Yeah.
Okay. Seven. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal, can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius or human nature. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is an undisciplined, irreconcilable, restless evil, full of death, bringing poison.
It's so small.
With it we bless the Lord and the Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness. That includes the alcoholics. And I had some in my family. Out of the same mouth comes forth blessings and cursings. These things, my brethren, ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth simultaneously from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Absolutely not. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him, by his noble living, show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. That is so, so deep. But if you have bitter jealousies and envy and contention, rivalry, selfish ambitions in your heart, do not pride yourself on it and thus be in defiance. And defiance of and false to the truth or untruth. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, animal or beast, even devilish or demoniacal. Okay?
Demoniacal.
Thank you. Yep. I needed help. For wherever there is jealousy, envy and contention, rivalry and selfish ambitions, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. Verse 17, you better put a circle around. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, and is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruit. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts. I love this part. Free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. I can tell you that when I got up that first morning after the fall, I said, Lord, how are you going to turn this into good? How is this going to register on the chart of heaven? How are these words going to manifest a victory? Because it was him and I. Okay? So, that next morning, when I first got up to go to the bathroom, yes, I was a little bit sore. I had to go to the bathroom. When I got up, I could feel there was pressure. And I started to declare, all is well is my soul. All is well with my body. All is well as I made breakfast. By the time breakfast is done, I got off my chair and I had no pain. Why? Because I was declaring who I really am in Christ. And the fruits were within an hour. I could have went to the medicine cabinet, taken some more pills, but I didn't. Because I was taking the gospel and putting it to work. And I'm not angry at those who fall and go to the doctors and go to the chiropractor. That's fine for them. But I, because those thoughts did enter in, you know, you should go to the chiropractor now. You know, after all, he knows you well. I mean, you know, you can go and get some help here. But the Lord said, I am your helper. I am with you in all things. So which one are you going to believe? Which one are you going to declare? Which way are you going to mature in the process of growing up as a man or a woman of God? Are you going to go by the natural rules that you've always done? Or are you going to choose to declare what he says? I can just imagine what Moses, when he came down from that mountain, and he's thinking, I tried to be a leader already and tried to get the Israelites out of this mess. They wanted to stone me. I don't want to go back. Pharaoh wants me dead. He knows I killed one of ours. Because you see, he was living a double life. He was actually an Israelite, but he lived with the Egyptians and was brought up like an Egyptian. Whoa. Now God is sending him back. I don't want to go back. And God says, I've already provided a helper. Your brother's coming. Yeah, right. Verse 17, one more time. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure and undefiled. If you don't take that one seriously, you're missing the goal of the feast. The wisdom from above is heavenly wisdom. It's Holy Ghost wisdom. And it's pure and undefiled. It doesn't have a second motive. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, and gentle. And I'm going to stop right here for a minute because I want to declare something. Yesterday, I'm naming you by name, Peggy, because I saw you move under the press of the Holy Spirit, cross this room, and you went over to the other side of the room, and you laid hands on your person that was an issue with you. And I said, this is an example of how a neighbor to this person that you were. Because you bypassed your emotions, you bypassed all the thought patterns that were in you, and I know you did that. And I compliment you. Because what you did was an example to the rest of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did anybody else catch that? Can it connect it? Okay. So what am I saying to you? The wisdom from above is first of all pure and undefiled. And she was able to give to that individual what God had prepared. And it couldn't have been done with rationalization. Thank you. It was loving, it was courteous, it was considerate, it was gentle. And you were willing to yield to the Spirit, not to reason. Full of compassion and good fruit. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insecurity. You could have given 1,000 excuses that you didn't have to cross this room, but you didn't. You obeyed. And many others of you have obeyed. I just didn't see it. I can't compliment those that I didn't see. But when I see the fruit of the Lord in this feast, and I see the harvest that he's going to bring, that warms my heart. So now 18. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God and his will in thoughts and deeds, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace. But those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, that is, that peace which means concord agreements and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitations, passions, and moral conflict. I know it's awful quiet in here.
Well, you did a fine job. You're on your way to the corner, though.
Okay, I don't mind visiting.